morning. Thank you for joining us as we gather here to hear God's word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. This morning as we gather, just a couple of announcements to make. First of all, we have a pitch tournament coming up on Sunday, February the 15th from 3 to 5 over in the Fellowship Hall. So if you are able to attend that, it's just a time to gather as friends and community and have a little fun, right? So there's an announcement in the bulletin about that. If you would like to sign up, there is a sign-up sheet for that, just so we kind of can make accommodations and make sure we have accommodations for everyone. Also, I would announce that in the pew there, you might find a little little Jesus, right? So you are free to take those with you as you leave and be reminded about Jesus, and just a constant reminder of that for you. So this morning as we gather, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. He heard my voice from his temple.
Through your precious word, you have called us into your vineyard. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may labor faithfully in your vineyard, shun sin and all offense, obediently keep your word and do your will, and put our whole and only trust in your grace, through which you have poured onto us generously through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may obtain eternal salvation through him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, the true God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock. And water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Our second reading is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord. You, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burdens of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of our Lord. I believe in one God, the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we heard it rightly, we should understand that the parable of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew is not a parable about work in the kingdom of God, but it is about God's grace in the kingdom of God. And as you can might imagine, there is a vast difference between these two things. Both are good, but they see things from different perspectives.
When the workers who were
hired last came forward and received a full day's wage, they understood grace. They did not care what others received. They might not have even hung around to compare. They were filled with joy at the grace and the generosity of the vineyard owner and received what he gave them with thanksgiving. But for the workers hired first, it was not the same. Indeed, they saw things a bit differently. They did not look at things from the perspective of grace, but from a perspective of work. That is to say, they believed whatever a person does and deserves will be credited to him as a matter of just reward. And, of course, they were greatly disappointed. They did not get what they thought they deserved, nor did they get what they thought they had earned. The master makes it clear that indeed they did. They received the exact wages that they had negotiated for at the start of the day. And so it was not really their work or their pay that got them upset. It was actually the grace and the generosity of the owner. What made them grumble is what others received. When they saw that, suddenly their pay wasn't good enough. They wanted more. And that happens even today. Athletes who are happy with their contract 1 year want to renegotiate them the next because someone else got more. Children can be filled with joy over a gift they receive until they see their friend or their brother or their sister has gotten more. Farmers who raise a bountiful crop can be pleased with their yields until they find out that the neighbor across the fence row achieved better results. When we see someone else with more of what we want, our perspective changes. Most, if not all of us, have been blessed abundantly, but our happiness and our satisfaction can be easily turned into jealousy and grumbling. And it's not because of what we received, but it is because of what others have received. Like the first workers in the vineyard, if we do not know what others received, we would be happy with what we were given and gone home quite content. But the master paid the workers in this order for a reason. Not to teach us something about work, but to teach us something about ourselves and about him and about grace. So what can we learn about ourselves from this parable? A parable like this reveals and draws out the sin that lives in each and every one of us. The sin we try so hard to hide. That we are often dissatisfied with God and how he chooses to distribute his wealth. That we are often jealous of our friends and of our neighbors, and quite frankly, we are in competition with them. And we want to win. Even though that we know that we should love God above all things, it is often the things of this world that we love more than the one who gives these things to us. And so the sin in us turns the goodness of God into something that is not good.
And it is not because God was not good to us or did not give us enough. It's simply because someone else got more. And so we look inside of ourselves and we see what we really like deep down, past the good show that we put on for others. We need to do this so that we would repent, to let go of this sin, to ask God not only for forgiveness for it, but also that we might change. And not only be happy for what others receive, but even more important, that we might love God and not be angry with him for giving to others more than he has given to us. And to be thankful for what he has given to us. Because what he has given you and me, we actually don't deserve at all. And that is the key. Not to base our connection with God upon our connections or comparison with others, but to know that all that we have and receive is a gift from God. It is a gift of his grace. We also ought not to do so in resignation, as if, well, God's not fair because there's nothing we can do about it. No, because you are still comparing yourself then. Instead, think of what we deserve from God. As Luther wrote in his explanation of the Lord's Prayer, we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. But this is not what God gives. If he were fair, God would indeed give you what you deserve. And what you deserve is death and eternal punishment from him. But God does not give that. He is a master who is gracious, a master who is generous, and one who loves giving. And so he does not give, he gives us not only what we need for this body and life, but he gives us even more. He gives us not only life, but others to enjoy this life with. He gives us talents and abilities and friends. He gives us his church, his angels to watch over and to protect us. But most of all, and most importantly of all, he gives us his son. He did not have to give us his son. He did not have to send him into this world to be born as one of us, to take the punishment of our sins upon himself, and to die on the cross for us. He did not have to make him die in the most humiliating and excruciating way. But God did this, and he did it for you. So not only does he take care of us in this life, this earthly life, but he also takes care of us in eternal life. That all the sin, all the ugliness that lives in us and that would bar us from heaven, he forgives you on the cross. Your sin is forgiven. All of it is paid for through the blood and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if it's on Christ, that is your sin, then it's not on you. You are free to go in this life and in the next, free and forgiven by God's grace. It is his gift to you. You are free and forgiven through faith, which receives that wonderful gift. You are free and forgiven that through his word of absolution, through his body and blood given to you. So, do we still want to take what we deserve from God? He will give you that indeed if you do not really want his gifts.
But I pray this is
not you.
Instead, I pray that you would receive God's gifts, his grace,
his forgiveness, and receive it with joy, knowing his goodness far exceeds what we think that we deserve. Because the gifts of God are far more than we could ever ask for or even imagine. And that gift that he gives to you is eternal life with Jesus Christ. So thanks be to God that he doesn't give us what we deserve. But also we pray that what he does give us, we would receive with joy and thanksgiving. For he has given you a great gift, and indeed it is eternal life with him. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me, Free Spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this, our offering, that here in this place we may continue to proclaim the grace of your love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We continue with the prayers of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Let us pray. Merciful God, cleanse and renew our hearts from the stain of sin. Bring us to genuine repentance. Pardon all our sins and renew our faith, that we may have a clear conscience. Grant us the aid of your Holy Spirit to manifest the holiness of life which befits our calling through holy baptism. By faith, let us show forth the good works of Christ, who called us from darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Heavenly Father, to save and defend your church from the enemies of your word, give us faithful pastors and teachers who will gather your sheep with your voice, feed them with your blessed sacraments, and lead us into everlasting presence, into your everlasting presence. Teach us to love the love of your name and the desire for what is good and right, that we would renounce all false belief and love you with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, protect us from our adversary who prowls around looking to devour us. Guard those in authority over us, especially our President and Congress, that our laws would be just and justly applied for the punishment of the evildoer and for the pursuit of virtue. Be with those whose task it is to defend from the evils of this world. We remember those who serve in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. So also bring help to those who serve as police and emergency workers in our community, that they too be kept safe and that no harm and danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to those whom you have blessed with the gift of a child, your hand of help and comfort. We remember Justine, Journey, Alyssa, and Kirsten. Turn their trust and hope to you, that in the giving of life, your name be glorified. And according to your good and gracious will, preserve and protect both mother and child, so that joy may abound in you. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days in this present life and grant to those who celebrate birthdays this week joy in your loving kindness. We remember especially Rod, Christy, and Lauren. Assist them by your Holy Spirit to abide in the confession of your care and protection and in all things glorify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, comfort those who are in distress. Grant healing to the sick. Give peace to the troubled, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested, including our homebound and shut-ins, Eldine, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, Fenil, Margaret, and Lois. So also Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Karen, Lana, and Mark. Bring us with them through the trouble and trial by your grace, that we may sing anew your wondrous love and mercy. Strengthen all by your Holy Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, and in the midst of both good and evil things, that you may be, that your will may be done. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, remember in your mercy all who come this day to receive the Savior's body and blood in the sacrament of this altar. May all our hearts be turned in repentance, strengthened in faith, and emboldened in love to show such forgiveness, grace, and mercy and service to our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, bless us, Heavenly Father, in this season of repentance as we continue to walk through this time. Let us hold fast to your word. Teach us to die to self and serve you faithfully through this mortal life until at last you bring us with the blessed saints into your presence forevermore. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
given unto death for all of your sin. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. And now this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, keep you strong and steadfast, both body and soul, until life everlasting. Be part in his peace. Amen.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to your mighty God that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The fallen world by holy love outpoured.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, having given the gifts of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to these your people, let your servant our peace and peace upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Within. But now the bonds of death are burst, the ransom has been paid. You know, ascend the Father's throne in robes of light arrayed. Oh, let your mighty love prevail to purge us of our pride, that we may stand before your throne by mercy purified. Christ Jesus be our present joy, our future great reward. Our only glory may it be to glory in the Lord.